You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On Mets. While there was no game played on Tuesday night due to some rain, there is still plenty to discuss on today's show as we continue to unravel all of the moving parts when it comes to the Mets firing Chili Davis and Tom Slater. In the first segment, I want to go over some great reporting by Joel Sherman as he kind of details the front office and what their thought process was in making this move and making it now. In the second segment, I want to play a lot of audio from Pete Alonso's press conference today because he was very emotional talking about the loss of Chili and Tom Slater, and I will kind of talk about a little bit of a divide we're now seeing between the players in the front office just based on this decision. Finally, in the third segment, I want to go over how the Mets pitching is lined up this week as they now have to go through another doubleheader, but also as Jacob deGrom was scratched from his start on Tuesday before the game was rained out and Carlos Carrasco nears his return to the Mets rotation. Before we get to any of that though, I'm your host Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMerizeOnline.com. Also, since the minor league season has started, I want to let you know that if you're giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you, and that is Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton, which is the only daily show devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. Follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I do encourage all of you to find Joel Sherman's latest report about this situation titled Inside Mets Decision to Fire Chili Davis and the Origin of Donnie Stevenson. And he basically outlines what was going on inside the front office, and essentially Sandy Alderson and Zach Scott were not happy with the way things were going, which is obvious with the way the team performed offensively in the first month of the season. I want to read this passage directly from Sherman's story because it really does outline exactly what happened here. So he says, Alderson and Scott were disenchanted not only with the results, but more with the process. Scott had observed hitting meetings to Davis's annoyance, a source said, and what emerged in the front office's belief was a lack of individualized plans, mechanical adjustments, and authoritative instruction in the meetings. Now, I want to break down that part of this report first because it is very interesting that Zach Scott was in some way stepping on Chili's toes and getting into some of those meetings. Not that it wasn't in his right to do so, but he was trying to evaluate Chili's performance. And Chili, being an old school guy who really does kind of trust a hitter, and if a hitter says, you know, my swing's feeling good, maybe he just lets that hitter go. And to Zach Scott, who is a number cruncher, he sees that and he thinks, well, he's not taking advantage of the analytics. He's not creating plans for each player, and he's not making day-to-day adjustments that can take some of these struggling hitters and change their swing path and put them into a position where they can break out of those slumps quicker. Now, this is a difference in philosophy, but that's the way the game is going. That's just the reality. Sherman's reporting continues as he describes the frustration in the front office, how Scott was meeting with his subordinates and they were thinking about making a change. Alderson was on the same page. The Mets had that disastrous series against the Red Sox, and that was essentially the nail in Chili's coffin. I mean, the Mets just did not produce at all, so there was conversations between them and manager Luis Rojas. Rojas did not agree with the decision, but he was outranked, as Sherman describes it, and so a change was to be made, but it could not be made right away because the minor league season was starting. The two guys that they were bringing in were both ingrained in the minor league system, and there had to be, you know, some different hires and moving parts that would take over their previous roles, not to mention, along with the minor league season starting, the alternate site was closing, and these new coaches had to figure out their personal lives, where their families were going to spend the summer, as they were now taking a job with the major league team. So it took a little bit to get their ducks in a row, and then the Mets just start to hit, and that is kind of where I do believe the loss on Monday triggered the gut decision to get this out there and to make this switch, because it would have been a bad look to fire Davis after the offense had just started to score and they were winning. So I do think the fact that there was a loss, it just was, okay, here's our window, let's do it. And that's why they made this change, which, again, it was a decision that was already made. So any inkling of the Donnie Stevenson thing playing a role in this, it really just doesn't make sense, because that all came after the decision was pretty much set in stone following that Red Sox series. Now, Sandy Alderson, his approach has always been pretty simple. Hit more home runs than other teams, get on base more so there's runners on base when you hit those home runs. And the Mets have been one of, if not the worst, home run hitting team in baseball this year. So that is clearly a sore spot for Alderson when he watches this team perform right now. They want to see some adjustments made that can bring some power back into this lineup, and they believe that these changes will do just that. Because Chile and Tom Slater were not hired by this current front office, they were always going to be on a short leash, and this team just struggled too much at the start of the season. This was a clear change they could make at a time where you can't really do much else. It's hard to add a bat to the roster at this point of the season. It's hard to, you know, change up the locker room and there's no top prospect that can be called up to give you a jolt. So the only thing that could have been done is changing the hitting coaches. That's what the Mets decided to do, and some of the players were not happy about it. I want to talk about Pete Alonso's comments in just a minute. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, with 18 amazing flavors, including my personal favorite, the Cookies and Cream Bar, as well as other flavors like Caramel Brownie, Cherry Barcia, Lemon Almond Cheesecake Carrot Cake, and the Apple Almond Crisp. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate, they're soft, they're easy to chew, and Built Bars are healthy as they come low in calorie and low in sugar, but high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. This episode is brought to you by 1010, an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life, and they're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. A lot of times in sports, when a decision like this is made, it's easy to remove the personal element of it. But these are coaches that have been working side by side with some of these hitters for over 2 years, who have been with them for, in some cases, every stage of their big league career. For Pete Alonso, he's only known two hitting coaches at the big league level, Chili Davis and Tom Slater. And he has a personal relationship with these guys, and that's why he was so devastated when he heard the news.
So I found out on Twitter while I was eating my post-game meal, and I talked to Zach, our GM. It was a professional talk. Then I gave Slate and Show two big old hugs, and then I cried up my locker for a little bit.
It's really hard to hear Pete talk this way. He is an emotional guy. He wears those emotions on his sleeve. That's why he's a fan favorite. That's why he's so beloved and became so beloved in such a short period of time. And you have to sympathize with what he is going through. He had a lot of success with these guys as his hitting coach. He mentions that records were set over the 2.5 years that they had their jobs, that there was a lot of guys who had personal best seasons and were all-stars. And you hear all of that, and a lot of that points right back to him. He was an all-star. He won a home run derby. He led the league in RBIs. He set the rookie home run record. All of that came with these guys in his corner. So to lose them and to be shocked and to find out on Twitter that they're gone, that is a really tough moment, especially for someone who's still at an early stage of his career. He is not a grizzled veteran who has seen this a million times before. Someone like Kevin Pillar likely has a lot more experience with this simply just due to the fact that he's been in the league longer and he knows the business of baseball. Not that Pete is naive to it, but this is the first time that he's really seeing that cold aspect to the game. While the Mets did have a mid-season firing in 2019 with the pitching coach, that didn't directly impact Pete like this one did. So I think that really changes kind of his outlook on this situation. And he is just confused. That really is his biggest takeaway from listening to the presser. He doesn't understand the decision. And that is what has left him at such a state of disarray.
It's confusing for me. And listen, like I respect everybody who made that decision. But to me, it just doesn't make sense right now. But I know that that the guys coming in, they're great minds, they're great people, and I know that the people who are in charge in the office, I know that they want to win. Everybody wants to win, but I guess from a results standpoint, from let's say two and a half years, the results have been there. And to me, it still doesn't make sense. They're great guys, but I'm more perplexed because of like the actual results that they've been able to provide for the team.
One thing that Pete Alonso made very clear throughout the presser is he has nothing against the new coaches coming in. He says they're great guys, they're qualified. He's looking forward to working with them. This is simply a problem with the way this was handled and with the ultimate decision and the people making the decision in the front office. As Pete says, everyone's working towards the same goal. And he's going to adjust, and he is still all about the Mets. None of that has changed, but when you hear Pete say, "I had a professional conversation with our GM, Zach Scott," when he mentions that there was that meeting today between the team and Zach Scott, and there was maybe some airing of grievances from the players, when he mentions those guys in the front office, there's a disconnect there. And it's pretty easy to see how you get to that disconnect when you have guys like Zach Scott, who didn't play the game, who are trying to tell you how to do your job and how to approach your job, and they're taking away a job from someone in Chili Davis, who is a lifelong baseball man. Not to say these new coaches aren't that, but Chili Davis had a long major league career, and that gives a certain level of equity with the players because he experienced it all. So now you're told that what your coach, who got you to such great heights is doing is not enough. That is something that will be a, you know, real difficult thing to grapple with if you're Pete Alonso. And Francisco Lindor expressed sadness too, saying this really hurt him. This is a tough thing for the clubhouse to get over right now when the wound is still fresh. But they're all still moving towards trying to win a baseball game on Wednesday, or trying to win two. They're all trying to win a division, and they're going to work with these new coaches and embrace them. But there is that growing divide that you're going to see right now between the front office and the hitters. And until these new coaches ingratiate themselves with the clubhouse and hopefully you see some results, there might be a little bit of divide there between the players and the front office, which is fine because you know what? Sometimes some friction can create some positive momentum in the right direction. It's okay if not everyone loves each other right now, but if it sparks a competitive fire, that might be a good result from all of this anyway. One other quote I wanted to pull from this press conference and all of this sound courtesy of the Mets and SNY, but I just love this little snippet from Pete Alonso talking about his two jobs with the Mets.
My two jobs are simple. Make sure the ball leaves the box harder than it came and make plays on defense. Make plays for my pitchers and make plays for my infielders.
Make sure the ball leaves the box quicker than it came. Only Pete Alonso could deliver that line with that much gusto and confidence. And I love that. I love that he still is all about mashing baseballs. And I don't think that any of this negatively affects the team. What I will say is the front office has to have paid some attention to the way this clubhouse reacted to this decision. And the reason I say they have to pay attention to this is because there's still that looming question about Rojas. Is he long for this job? And I don't believe that this clubhouse could get over a mid-season firing of Rojas. These guys have played for him throughout their entire minor league careers for some of them. They've all spent time with Rojas being part of their development, and now he's their manager at the big league level. And if you think that losing Chili Davis is going to go over bad in that clubhouse, just imagine what it'll be like if you rip Rojas from this team. To me, that just can't happen right now. So I think that Rojas is going to be with the Mets this season. Next year, that's a big question mark. We just don't know how the team is going to perform and if the front office believes in Rojas as the long-term manager. They have not picked up his club option for next season, which does say a lot. Overall, though, you have taken away some excuses. Now this is time for the Mets to adjust. For this front office, they have put a team together, and they've now put a staff together that they like and they want to win with. So suddenly, some of that burden, some of that responsibility to win, more and more of it is falling on their shoulders. If this team is not successful, Steve Cohen can not only look at the manager, but also look at some of the people in that front office as far as what this team should be moving forward. There is a lot of pressure on all sides to start winning. Hopefully the Mets can begin that with today's doubleheader. I want to talk about that and how the pitching is going to line up throughout the rest of the week in just a minute. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football's been over, but the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. With real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you could imagine, BetOnline has you covered. For all the new scores and odds, it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. For the first time this year, the Mets were probably happy they got a rainout today, as there's so much turmoil going on with the team, and Jacob deGrom was scratched earlier in the day due to pain in his right side. An MRI later revealed that it's just some inflammation in his right lat, so he won't throw for a couple of days, but he should be good to go, hopefully by this weekend. So that was the best news of the day, but the Mets were in a really tight spot for this game. Miguel Castro was going to start in what was likely another bullpen game. Jordan Yamamoto was called from the alternate site, or actually from AAA. He was going to make the opening day start at Syracuse, hopped on a private jet to St. Louis. Sean Reed Foley was optioned to AAA in his place, so it likely would have been Castro and then Yamamoto coming in off of a plane, which is never a great way to get introduced back into big league action. It would have been a tough spot for him. So now he gets a day's rest in St. Louis to get ready to pitch at some point during this doubleheader. He will likely start game two, although the Mets could go with an opener, a strategy they thought about using when Joey Lucchese was on the mound on Monday. The idea being you can get through that heart of the Cardinals lineup once before handing it off to your starting pitcher that you might not trust to go through that part of the lineup two or three times. So that could be a way the Mets can get through that second game, or they just give the ball to Yamamoto and let him pitch. Hopefully Stroman can take you as close to the distance as possible in game one, and the bullpen will be fresh to handle the doubleheader. Then Taijuan Walker will pitch the final game of this series, and then you have to wonder what's going to happen over the weekend when the Mets will play the Arizona Diamondbacks at home. The way things could line up, though, David Peterson is in line to start on Friday. You'd hope that maybe Jacob deGrom can start on Saturday, and then Carlos Carrasco has the potential to start on Sunday on full rest. He pitched a sim game in Port St. Lucie on Tuesday, threw six innings, hit 96 on the gun with his fastball with some good late life. According to Mike Mayer of Metsmerize, an anonymous minor league source told him that his slider was unhittable. Actually, this was a minor leaguer who said that his slider was unhittable, so he probably watched that from the box. That tells you that he is about ready to go. They could decide to let Carrasco get one more start in a minor league game, which is a little bit closer to game action than a sim game. You can try to get a simulated game as close to the real thing as possible, but maybe the Mets want to get him in an actual game at Syracuse or wherever else in Brooklyn, whatever they decide to do. But Carrasco is very close to coming back, and it could line up their rotation pretty perfectly if he could make that start on Sunday, because then from there, your rotation would basically be set. It'd be DeGrom, Carrasco, Stroman, Walker, then Peterson. That's probably the way you would have lined it up at the start of this season if everyone was healthy anyway. So that could be a very welcome sight this weekend if we get starts from both DeGrom and Carrasco coming off injuries. That would really ease everyone's mind. They give the Mets a great chance to win that series against the Diamondbacks and maybe be a turning point where this team can find some consistency and really go for a run here. It will be great to no longer have to worry or wonder what the Mets will do when that fifth spot in the rotation comes up, with Joey Lucchese clearly not being an answer and maybe destined to rediscover himself as a reliever later this season. Now, one last update when it comes to pitchers. Noah Syndergaard threw two innings in the sim game on Tuesday morning. He's expected to return in mid-June still. They're going to take this slow. He's ramping up an inning at a time as they stretch him out, and eventually will get into a rehab assignment, will likely make some starts in AAA or even maybe in Brooklyn until he's ready to go at the big league level. And again, you're looking at sometime in June, hopefully sooner rather than later. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for a full breakdown of all the action from this doubleheader. Also, I will be live on Locker Room later tonight. Going to plan to go live at some point around 7 or 8, maybe in between the two games, with the first one starting at 5:15. Follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan to get updates on when I will go live on Locker Room. Make sure you create an account and join me. I'm looking forward to talking to more of you Mets fans. Also, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Mets, doing another giveaway this week for a signed photo of Michael Conforto. You'll find that tweet pinned. You can enter for a chance to win. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today is a daily show breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes by subscribing to Locked On Today, wherever you get your podcasts.